All right, new intros. Shout out to Joe Fish for that one. Did we have a new one to start the show?
No, these have been the same ones.
This is not
there
the same.
There is an alternate corn dog one that you might think of as a second.
The corn, yeah, corn dogs. I don't know if I've heard this one. I don't know. Maybe I have. Honestly, I never listened to the bump backs. Yeah, I never listened to the bump backs before.
Not really your job to come right off the open and talk. So.
Before we start, yeah, I never really, you know, even we're usually still talking before the. Well, whoops! I'll pay closer attention to everything.
It's all right.
Dang, Witherspoon, big bag, huh?
Yes, sir.
$132 million for 4 years for the Seahawks corner. Man, hey, Devon Witherspoon. I mean, is he the best corner in football?
He's up there. Yeah, I think so.
Why not?
I don't know. There's a guy that plays for New England that I think is probably the best in the world. But I'm lying?
It's just his. No. I think it's just his turn, right?
Fair enough.
And
that's how it goes with corners.
Right?
Corners and receiver is the most interchangeable, like, who's the best every year. For quarterbacks, it's pretty much the same year to year. Mm-hmm. Like, we know we have the same group of five guys. Even now, like, you look back 4 or 5 years ago, it would still – Lamar Jackson, it was still, you know, Josh Allen, it was still all the same guys, Mahomes and everybody like that. Receiver and DB are the two positions that, man, 1 year Odell was the best receiver in the league, and then 1 year, you know, somebody else was. So that's usually the way it goes. But Devon Witherspoon, go ahead and get your money, bro. I will be there on September 9th to watch the Seahawks take on my New England Patriots up there at Lumen. Yeah, I got to go to that game.
Nice.
I fully plan to get into a fight with the Seahawks.
Right after they show the banner of
I'm not because, like,
start a fight
people right at football games are just aggressive for no reason.
Listen,
like, why are you so angry, bro? Like, just because I wore this jersey does not mean I'm here to fight with you.
Don't be the guy that wears the jersey, man. Don't be that guy.
No, I'm 43 years old, man. I am not wearing another man's name on my back.
Thank you.
You know, unless like it's like an old jersey, like
is
like
throwback.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Sean Alexander.
Yeah.
All right, man, he's older than
I'm
me.
With you
I can
that.
Wear Sean Alexander,
I'm
but
with you on that.
Like I want a Ja jersey, but I don't want a Ja jersey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I would have loved a Carmelo Anthony Blazers jersey. I just don't want a jersey. That dude is the same age as me, younger than me.
You can't be the guy on the road trip, though. Did we learn anything from the Knicks-San Antonio series?
Well, what we know is Knicks fans would have got, what's the time term they like to use? Packed up?
Man,
tug on my jersey.
There's too many.
Tug on my hat,
there's
man.
Too many. There was mobs, bro.
There was mobs, man. There was mobs. That's the one I did not want the Knicks to win for that reason alone. It's your fans. The same way I feel about Knicks fans, same way I feel about Philly fans of any sport.
Oh, Cowboy fans are the worst.
Cowboy fans, like, hey, man, I can't stand
I don't mind the Cowboys. I don't like Cowboy fans.
Seahawk fans have become annoying like that, too.
Yeah, they are.
I'm so sorry. I know we have a lot of Seahawk fans out there listening. Listen, it's no disrespect. It's none of that. But let's be real. Y'all are kind of annoying coming from the
Patriots.
They're
fair weather. They're quiet.
Yeah.
Like, listen, I had coworkers that I've worked with for years.
Never had Seattle nothing.
I didn't know you liked the Seahawks.
This is
new to me. I didn't know this.
They didn't.
Right?
They
came out of nowhere.
I got some friends that'll remain nameless that all of a sudden was like, God, I've been a Seahawks fan for no, you haven't.
Facts.
We've been here. I've never seen a Seattle.
If we don't know it, you're not a fan. That's
exactly. If we don't know, like, I need to know your fandom, bro. I need to know that you got trashed by everybody else.
We haven't talked in a couple years about sports, but you know, I'm a Broncos fan.
You're a Broncos fan. Yeah, yeah. It's been.
It's official.
Yeah, I'm a Pats guy,
Facts.
Man. It's been, and I remember
Facts.
when we were not good,
yeah.
or even losing in the Super Bowl to the Bears in like '87 stuff like that.
I
remember some times where it was
Steve Grogan.
Yeah, it was not cool to be a Patriots fan.
Tony Eason,
and then we started winning, and then it's like, oh, you bastards! All you do is, oh, you guys suck. It's like, bro,
I was here.
It took a long time for us to be that. So the Blazers have also been waiting a long time for them to be good. This might be the year that it happens, but. There are some other teams in this Western Conference that some have taken a step back. Others have maybe taken a step forward. There is a huge departure from the NBA that we'll also have to get to because one of the most iconic players in the league called it quits after arguably, based on the numbers, arguably the greatest career from a guard, you know, in history that sans a championship. So we'll talk about that later. But I want to go through this list for the both of you. And I wanted to ask you some teams Considering the Blazers' new makeup, new coach Mike Anori, so probably a new direction. Mike Anori, who was also pegged as the defensive mind of that Minnesota Timberwolves team. So I want to ask you, based on some of these teams and based on these moves that they've made, will the Blazers be better than them, right? So take out what we know about, you know, over-unders after the new schedule came out, your personal belief, right? So we'll start with the low-hanging fruit. Utah Jazz.
Better.
Better.
Sacramento.
Better.
Right?
Better.
These are all teams that we kind of know.
Better.
Dallas Mavericks.
Still right? Better, but it's closer.
I mean, I think Cooper Flagg takes a step forward. Obviously, you've got Kyrie coming back this year to change a lot of things. I think this Dallas team, who before this were a year removed from playing in the conference in the NBA Finals.
Yep.
So
we're better.
Okay.
We're better.
The Pelicans.
Better.
Better.
All right. And now here's where it goes. Here and then we start getting into the thick of it, right? The Golden State Warriors. I think they're just old at this point.
Yeah, I think better.
Yeah.
I think the youth of the roster, plus the explosiveness with Ja and Dame coming back, I think is better than Golden State.
I do like what's my guy's name? Yoxel.
Lindenberg?
Yeah. Yeah. I do like him. I think he could be a big part of this team. He's a big body playing along with Steph, like, that could be good.
Yep.
What say you?
I say better just because, you know, if you're not, you know, in your 18th year, Steve Kerr won't play you. So I can't tell you how many times they've got a great new young guy that doesn't get to play.
Yeah, Kuminga, who nobody seems to want right now. Has Kuminga signed with anybody yet?
I don't think so.
That's crazy.
I know.
Yeah, Steve Kerr ain't going to play you.
Yeah, no, that's a wrap. The Clippers.
Oh, gosh. I think that's better. I think
they might not have Kawhi. Like, there's a good chance he's suspended or something.
I think there's going to be some consequences and repercussions.
Yes.
So I say they don't know what they're going to do. So absolutely, I think we're better than the Clippers.
I still think better. Yeah.
I tend to agree with you. I think outside of Kawhi, I think we saw in that play-in game, like, hey, man, like, I think the Blazers are just a more complete team as opposed to the Clippers.
Well, and Kawhi went to Toronto, right?
Well, he did, but now they might void that. So we'll see. Like, so pending. We don't know. He might be back there. So we'll see. Yeah, we're not really sure what happens with the Kawhi.
But it's not good.
No, it's not good.
None of that says stability and winning.
No, it doesn't, man. So that could be a problem. Right. First game of the season for this year for the Portland Trailblazers against division rival Phoenix Suns. I think Devin Booker is a beast. I think who else plays for Phoenix? Is it what's the guard? What's my guard's name? Long hair, Jalen Green.
Oh yeah,
Jalen Green. You know, is their guard, and they have Dillon Brooks.
Yep.
Right. Who I think Dillon Brooks is a team changer. Like, I don't love him personally, but he goes there, that team starts killing all of a sudden.
I think Phoenix is one of those teams where you look and they don't have a lot of names that pop, but the sum of their parts, they play really, really well together. And I think the Blazers and Phoenix will be bumping into each other. So this is it's not start of the season, but it will tell us a lot early on about how we match up with a team like that.
Yeah, I think the Blazers are a little bit deeper than, you know, the Suns. Outside of really their starting lineup that includes Jalen Green, Miles Bridges, Dillon Brooks, Devin Booker.
Yeah, we're solid. They're solid.
Yeah, you know, I think they've got a good – it's where their second unit that I look at the Blazers and like, I think that's where things get kind of iced. Because one player we didn't really talk about for the Blazers was Shaedon Sharpe, right? And he's coming off the bench. And he's a guy that averaged before the injury a little over 20 points, you know, a game. So he and Scoot Henderson coming off your bench, that's huge for you. And then you've also got – Sidy Sissoko, who played really well in his first year as
moments.
Yeah,
he's still learning.
Yeah, he's so still trying to figure it out.
He's still trying to figure it
out. Yeah, he's still trying to figure that out. But I do think they'll be better than Phoenix. Here's why I get in trouble a lot. The Minnesota Timberwolves. I think they're better than the Timberwolves this year.
Oh.
I think LaMelo is a great player. I think Ant is obviously one of the best players in the league. Outside of that, it starts getting real like, you know, what are you going to get from Jaden McDaniels night to night? You never know. He's one of the definitions of inconsistent. You just gave Dosunmu that big money. What does that look like? Gobert could be the best person on the floor for you, could be the biggest liability for you. at the same time. You don't really have a strong bench, especially after sending your sixth man of the year to Charlotte for LaMelo. I think the Blazers are a little deeper. I'm saying the Blazers are better than Houston. Or, excuse me, better than Minnesota.
One thing I can say about Minnesota, while they haven't had the playoff success, they always figured out the regular season. They're right there.
When you have an Anthony Edwards, right? Things are much easier for you.
So I do think Anthony Edwards, in every game that we play against him, the best player on the court will be Anthony Edwards.
100%.
Right? And I think that goes a long way in basketball. Because you while depth is important, especially in the long haul, in an individual game, give me the best player.
Yeah.
And I do think that's Ant.
I agree. I'm leaning Minnesota slightly. I think the superstardom of Anthony Edwards paired with LaMelo, if he's playing like LaMelo.
Yep.
And then Rudy to combat Donovan, I think Minnesota just slightly.
I think if this were this past year, I would obviously agree with you. I think the addition of Dame and some shooting to your squad, because even if Dame comes in and gives you 19 a game on top of a guy in Denny who showed that he can be a really get you 30 and a triple-double, you know, at that. Like, I think just scoring the ball-wise, I think the Blazers have much more talent. Then defensively, outside of I think the Blazers are the better team.
Let me say one thing about LaMelo, and I think one negative about him, you might say he's a little unserious, right?
Oh, no.
But nothing humbles you and gets you more serious than getting traded. Right, you were supposed to be the franchise guy. Now you're the number two. How he responds to that will say a lot about where Minnesota goes.
And I think Melo is one of those guys that, if you think about his career, dating back to him elementary, middle school, high school, he's always been like the third guy on the team. Mm-hmm. Like his brother was Lonzo, mm-hmm. who was nationally ranked. Mm-hmm. His other brother LaMelo was. LiAngelo was pretty good, but you know, it wasn't
solid.
So he was always kind of the smaller guy on the team. Now he gets to be a great point guard. I think they're going to score a lot. I think it's going to be the most exciting team in the league. I just don't know. I don't know how they coexist. So we got more of the Western Conference to go. We'll do that next. Sports Saturday on the Fan. How long do you think you have to work to get that voice? Like, how do you figure out that you have that voice?
It's playing around.
Sports Saturday. 105 won the Fan. Yeah, no, I don't know. It sounds, yeah, I don't know. I always wish I could do like documentaries or something like that. I wish I had like a voice like that.
EA Sports.
Yeah, in the game. Who is that guy? Yeah.
There's a clip of him, just a normal dude, and he got paid off that.
Have you seen the Madden documentary? Like, it's about the game, Madden?
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I have seen that.
It's pretty tight, man.
It is tight.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Madden for giving us that gem of EA Sports. It's in the game. Like, seriously, there's no better feeling as that as a young man, especially the Madden's about to come out in a little bit. I think. Have you gotten college football?
I got college football already.
Yep. I mean, I know you don't play anymore.
I'm a 2K.
Okay.
NBA 2K is my – in fact, the new one's coming out. My kids are on the college football. Short story. So maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I bought all my kids Xbox and a copy of NBA 2K, mm-hmm. right? And so
we can play together,
right? We can play. So AD is in Vermont. Brand is in Vegas. Kato's upstairs, and my nephew is down the street. This
Y'all
is
got
COVID.
A whole team.
We get on. We have a date, 10 o'clock at night. Let's go in. And so I'm the power forward. You know what I mean? And so I was a bum at first, right? So when they all would get off.
DC, yeah.
When they would get, I got to practice.
Yeah.
Right? And so I got nice. I came back, you know, 2 weeks later. They were like, Dad, you got really good. I'm like, hey, man, I just figured it out.
You got some moves, man. Seriously, I got some moves. Changed my tendencies.
I'm a 2K guy, though.
Yeah. No, I haven't bought 2K in a couple years, only because I got kind of frustrated. But then I heard this year, I don't know how true it is, or it's a co-op my player.
Really?
Oh, so two people can play in the same my career, like same.
That's corny.
What you mean?
I don't want to get up out of my guy.
All of a sudden, like we can both play for the no, no, for the Timberwolves or for the whoever. Like,
he's saying you're going to hurt his MVP chances.
I'm not.
Yeah, right.
Right. I don't know your game like that. I don't get up out of here.
It's
only one ball.
That's that LaMelo. That's that LaMelo stuff, man. So we were sitting here going through the Western Conference and considering what teams might be better than our beloved Portland Trailblazers. And so far, looks like we've said all of them, most of the Western Conference except for one, will continue to move forward, with the next one being the Houston Rockets. I'm saying I want to say yes, but at the same time they have Kevin Durant, who's really, really, really good. He's still KD is going to play. He's going to be like LeBron. KD is going to play till he's 45.
Yeah.
Easy. Like, I mean, is barring injuries, and I'm knocking on wood here, the way KD plays, he's going to play till he's mid 40s, and the way he shoots, even if he's not the star of the team, he'll be a crazy shooter off the bench.
He's a 7 foot two guard that whenever he rises up, he's open.
It's insane.
He doesn't rely on speed, so he can play until he's tired of it. I to be honest, I think they, again, underachieved during the playoffs, but regular season, I think they'll be just fine. And the way they play defense, and it'll be the second year with him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the NBA is not that league anymore where you can just drop in an amazing free agent and everything's fixed in year one. That's not how it works anymore. So I think this second year, I could actually see them better, not worse.
I'm with you.
I agree with that. I think that's a good point. I think they very much underachieved last season. Mm-hmm. And I think there was 100%. A lot that went wrong with them injury-wise. But on paper, their talent, I think, is better than the Blazers.
I mean,
KD with Sengun and Amen Thompson, I think that trio itself.
And then you throw in Jabari Smith Jr., who's a really good young four. Well. And then you bring in the returning, nobody's talked enough about this, Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
Comes back from after tearing his.
They didn't have a point guard.
Yeah, so they didn't have a guard. Right. So really, you had Amen Thompson and KD that really kind of Marcus Smart played, you know what I'm saying, in that role. So now you've got him. You got Atari Eason, Reed Shepard, who is a great shooter for you. So I think this Houston team is going to be good. So I do think they will be better than our Blazers. Next up on this list is somebody I think we're definitely better in. That's the newly owned Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, I won't get into it all the way, but I think they're better than the Lakers outside of Luka. Obviously, Luka is the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Blazers have their version of Luka, who might be a little bit faster than – who is definitely a lot faster than him. They play very similar. I always said, Denny reminds me a lot of Luka, his change of pace and how he can do stuff like that. So I think just the way this Lakers team is constructed currently – yes, I think it looks like the Duke lacrosse team. And
listen, I think that going into the season is going to be one of the biggest stories. Like, how do they play together, right? And you know, we talked about this offline a little bit, but the way they're made up, and now they're owned by the Trump family.
Essentially, yeah.
I don't know if that was an accident.
Yeah, I mean, right? It seems real, real crazy. You know,
you have to work really hard to build that roster in a league that is 85% black and brown.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
It's a new look Lakers.
Yeah,
it looks like the Minneapolis Lakers.
It's going to be interesting to see that, and I want to see. I honestly think they could be great. I think they could be awful.
I think they've. Yeah, I think
like it's. I don't know. I
that's
gotta
a great
see this.
Perspective. I think
none of us have seen this before.
It could go really either way. You look at this roster that has a Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves, Laravia. I believe. I hope I'm saying his name. Jake Laravia, and also the new Walker Kessler. But then after that, it can be like Colin Sexton is good. Kevon Looney is good. You know, Matisse Thybulle, who I was really sad about leaving this Blazers team because I thought he defensively is so good. You know, their roster gets kind of thin after a few of their starters, but those starters they have are great.
Listen.
Brandon.
Go ahead, Brandon.
No, yeah, we don't know a lot about this new-look Lakers team, and I think that'll tell a lot about how much better they are than the Blazers. I mean, the Blazers are somewhat of a new look to a degree, but we've seen a lot of the core from this past season. So I think in that perspective, I think the Blazers are better than the Lakers. If the Lakers figure this out with this new group, the Lakers could be better just because, again, the Luka effect is takes over a lot of how right. good a team is.
Right.
Because that's just how good he is.
Yeah, I think the history with Luka is pretty deep, especially in the Portland world. Shout out to Nico Harrison, who is a Portland native and SEI alumni.
Yeah.
But I think all of a sudden, Nico doesn't look like the dummy they tried to make him out to be. He to me, and nobody has challenged me with this, is like Luka's the worst defensive superstar in the history of basketball. And it's close.
Man. James Harden, for a lot of people now. I love James Harden.
As bad as Harden is, Luka's worse. Statistically, nobody's been blown by more in the history of the playoffs than him. So you're literally playing every possession 5-on-4, right? And so for you to be that bad, you have to be 30-10-8.
Oh, yeah, you got to make up for it somehow.
So when you don't do that and you're just good and not great, I think that's the answer on how you beat the Lakers. And I didn't see them add a whole bunch of defensive help.
No, they didn't.
In fact, Walker Kessler got worse.
Walker Kessler, can block some shots, but no, they don't really have anybody that can stand pat on defense. I think the Lakers take a step backwards this year, but it wouldn't shock me, like you said, if they just happen to come out and just firing on all cylinders.
Right.
Next up is the guy that will be leading the NBA all time in triple doubles. Right now, Russell Westbrook has 208. And he retired with 208. Jokic is right behind him with like 193 or something like that, 192. So he's literally right behind him. But the Denver Nuggets are the next team. It's hard. I think that's hard for me. I still think the Nuggets are going to be great. Jokic is just unguardable. There's nothing you can do offensively about him. Defensively, he might be as bad as Luka. But offensively, like, Jokic is just a maestro with the bat. He is the most unconventional basketball player I've ever seen. There's nothing about Jokic that says you're supposed to be cold.
Yeah.
Nothing about you. The way you shoot is weird. The way everything just kind of seems like an accident for him. Like, when he lays it up, it's like, that's not supposed to go in. But it goes in every time because he's magic.
I think this goes back to my earlier point. Every game that he plays, I think he's the best player on the court, right? He's a liability, yes, but the best players in basketball aren't centers anymore.
No.
So while, right, is Rudy Gobert going to light him up?
No,
right? Who's really going to light up? So we can live with his defensive liabilities because the guy he's playing against isn't usually an offensive juggernaut. So I think, again, he makes it happen. He's as consistent. He doesn't miss a lot of games. So I don't see us, moving past Denver.
Yeah, agree. I think Nuggets had our number this past season, just watching them head-to-head, and they haven't really changed much of their roster. It's pretty much the same core. I think the Nuggets are slightly better.
I mean, it's hard to disagree with that. Like, and as long as you have Jokic, and Jamal Murray is one of the more underrated players like in the league, he just kind of makes it happen offensively, and he can do a little bit of everything. So, yeah, I do think this team – and Aaron Gordon, one of my favorite players in the league.
Gordon.
You know, he's just he's the definition of a glue guy.
Yeah.
Just, I'll do whatever you need me to do. Yep. I just go in there and play basketball and try to get dubs. I remember when he couldn't shoot that well, and then he went to the playoffs last year or the year before last and was knocking down big shots to send his team into overtime and stuff. So he's definitely one of the ones. I think we kind of know the answer for the last two teams in the Western Conference, and that is the defending Western Conference champions, the San Antonio Spurs, and the team that they played in the Western Conference Finals, the Oklahoma City Thunder. 1, 2, 3,
not better.
Like, I think we all know, like – and that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's okay. This is one of those seasons in my mind where I'm like, can we hurry up, fast forward through the season,
and let's
get to the
Western Conference Finals, and just watch
the Thunder and Spurs go at it again.
Yes.
Because I'm going to tell you, for me, this was the most entertaining Final Four, right, for me in a long time. I mean, it was just good basketball. And it's not just good basketball, the drama. right? When people talk about the golden age, whether it's the Lakers, you know, going against the Celtics, or the Pistons going against Michael Jordan, it wasn't just the basketball, but it was the drama and the beef and the competitiveness. That's what it felt like watching this year's finals. So to me, all these are great, right? The regular season is great, but boy, you know, that was
things ramped up when we got when we got to the play-in.
Yeah,
like that first game with the Blazers and and then even in the Eastern Conference was that was like those first games, like, okay, this is playoff basketball. It was chippy. It was like guys that are usually cool. We live in this NBA now. You guys work out in the offseason together. Like they go to the summer league together. Like they really kick it. They got to playoffs and it was like, nah, fam. Nah, it's us, it's y'all, and that's the way that's going to be. There's one player that I'm waiting for comeback from the next this upcoming season. I think he's going to be a beast, and I think he sat and watched the Eastern Conference just move on without him for a year. Tyrese Halliburton was my favorite player in the NBA. I love the way he plays. His jumper is ugly. His jumper is, you know, unconventional, but I don't think there's many people in the NBA that shoot like Clay right now. Like, most people shoot closer to Halliburton than they do anybody else. I think he's a guy in the Eastern Conference that's going to come back with this team, and he just knows how to play basketball.
No,
regardless of who's around him, I know how to hoop.
You're right. I forgot. I mean, that's how the NBA is, right? We just move on
so fast,
forgetting that. I mean, they were right there.
And he was cooking before he got hurt.
Yeah, like, that was tough.
He had like the first like 11 points. Yeah, it's like, uh-oh, Tyrese looks like he's on a mission. Thanks. And then that happened. So I think when you look at or look around and you see the changes that Boston made and you see Philadelphia has become, you know, kind of the must-see team in the Eastern Conference and everything. Detroit took a huge step forward.
What about the Wizards?
The Wizards, DeBanza.
Listen.
Like, DeBanza, in summer league, he can't shoot for nothing. But so
you got Trae Young, right?
AD, if he's healthy for 20 games.
Right? And the man, to me, that's my dark horse.
And then what's they still got Sar, right? They still got, you know, so
if he figures out how to play basketball.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, bro, I think this would be great for Sar because now he can just go to just, man, playing the
that's,
five.
That's
like, I don't have to worry about.
That's one of my squads that I got an eye on.
Trae Young is one of the most underrated players in the world to me. I was like, man, this dude is 5'10" and gives you a double-double, like, for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, you can't – and he can shoot the lights out. Like, you definitely need a player like Trae Young. Coming up next, man, let's talk about who the best rosters in the league is for the NFL. Man, whether it's the roster you like for personal reasons or just the one that's on paper is just a beast. We'll talk about that next. Football starting up. We are right around the corner. First game of the season, September 9th at Lumen Field. Seahawks hosting the best team in the league, the New England Patriots. So Coach Vrabel should be – hopefully he's concentrating. Hopefully he's have any weird scandals going on now. Hopefully he's taking care of his kid? Question mark?
We'll yikes. See. Yikes. What kind of show y'all running
here,
man?
Like, hey, man. Hey, man. Y'all don't think it's his kid?
Please call Rashad Taylor at...
y'all don't think that's his kid? Come on,
it's hard to not think that.
Come on, man. I mean, that's my coach.
Named,
like,
ain't he named after him?
Is he? Is his name Michael?
I think the baby's name is Mike. I'm dead serious.
I've got to look that up.
I think the baby's name is Mike.
I hope not, man.
Right?
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. So, yes, definitely his. He's definitely the pappy. And he better have everything in place because he will be visiting one of, potentially, the best roster in football on September 9th in Lumen Field, as he and his New England Patriots will take on the Seattle Seahawks in the season opener, the night the Seahawks get their Super Bowl banners hung, the night that the Seahawks officially can say that they ran the 25-26 season and did it at the expense of my New England Patriots. That's all happening. Hey, man, I'm not saying Seattle's the best team in the league, because I don't think that's the case as far as roster is concerned. Obviously, we just saw their corner, Witherspoon, just got paid a whole lot of money. Emma Worry, the other corner. I always say his name incorrectly. Forgive me if I'm butchering that. But you look at a team that just from top to bottom is great. They're probably their biggest question mark, and I don't know how much of a question mark it is after the Super Bowl, was Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. Coming into the Super Bowl, everybody was like, you know, Sam Darnold, you know, I think he answered every question for everybody in that Super Bowl. And then you throw out the breakout star. Like, I don't know if we ever saw somebody had that big of a come up in one season. You lose a great, great target, and then you just become the target in the NFL. Jackson Smith and Jigba became one of those ones. He's the guy that won me my fantasy league. Jackson Smith and Jigba was the guy that won me. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you probably got him like in the fifth round somewhere, right?
He was one of my one of my second or third receiver taken. So nobody knew he would have a season like this, and he ended up being great. I think the Seahawks are definitely one of those teams, just top to bottom. Even on with Leonard Williams and Byron Murphy II, like, you have some hitters on defense. So I just think this team is going to be great. I think losing Kenneth Walker, I think that's I don't know about you, Behan, but during the Super Bowl, just watching him shred our defense was absolutely heartbreaking. But I think they take a bit of a step back, but I think the Seattle is so deep to where it won't really matter like that.
Let me say this. I think as we go through all of these, I think one of the themes I always said, you can have amazing talent. But until I started watching that this season's NFL Hard Knocks.
I haven't seen it yet.
So they're following the Seahawks.
Right.
After 15 minutes of watching that, I said, oh, I get it. It's the culture, right? This guy knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And so you can have all the people in the world. And in the NBA, I don't think coaching is as important. Show me a good roster and I'll show you a good team. Mm-hmm. But in the NFL, where everybody is kind of in the same boat, that culture, leadership, that program, when you watch that show, you're going to be, oh, I get why they're champions.
Yeah. Right? You can tell when there are certain programs or there are certain, you know, franchises, like, do your job.
Yeah.
It was always the Patriots kind of motto. It wasn't flashy and everything, but then you come there. I remember Ocho Cinco came to New England and was like, oh,
This is different.
Not Cincinnati.
You know it right away.
Yes.
There's a scene on that Hard Knocks where I forgot who that top rusher is, but he's one of the stars, and he's getting too dang close to the quarterback.
Was it Leonard Williams or –
I think so. But he told him, hey, man, get the H away from my quarterback, right? I don't care who you are. And he's the most mild-mannered guy. But you saw when it was time to turn up, I'll turn up with whoever because this is my team.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Those are the signs of, again, the roster is important, but who's running it?
Absolutely. And you look at a great example of that, the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Before Dan Campbell,
come on,
they were a laughingstock.
Yep.
Dan Campbell came in and made them, we're not, winning isn't optional. We have
great
to do
example.
This. You're going to do this. And if you're going to be here, and so you see every year people, man, Jahmyr Gibb, he's the running back, going to be the first running back taken for a lot of people for fantasy, this
great
year.
Great example.
People are looking at, what they did, Amon-Ra St. Brown. You've got guys over there that completely change a culture, and you see that happening in Seattle. For you guys, who are the best teams, best rosters, you think, going into the season football? And we can't say our home team because, obviously, the Pats would be, the one. But, yes, if you had to see Behan, what would you say?
I think on paper you got to go with the Rams.
I think that's the first
question. No question.
An obvious answer. You have most of the same team that fell short in the NFC Championship game, and then you add the best defensive player to ever play in the last 20 years in Myles Garrett.
And potentially
Aaron Donald on top of that. Yeah, I mean,
right.
That one's just hard to ignore. So I would say if we're talking best roster on paper 100%. Coming into this season is the Rams.
That's my answer.
I think that's a no-brainer. I love how the Rams, they find a way to stay relevant. Right, for the last 5 or 6 years, they're either there or dang close, and one move away. So again, back to the program, man. When you hear their coach talk, right? When you see them make those tough decisions to send guys away, kind of like Bill Belichick, right? The year before, right? It's time to go is when he sends you out,
yeah.
And it allows them to keep building. So I'll definitely go with the Rams as well.
So that's a pretty easy answer. You look at what the Rams, you know, had this last year. You add Myles Garrett, cornerback Trent McDuffie. You've got obviously a great offensive unit with Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua, Kyron Williams, Blake Corum. Like, you've got great, great weapons. And, oh, yeah, you have the most valuable player in the league in Matthew Stafford. You've got a great-looking head coach who was a wunderkind. That's what we called him for a long time. He's not so young anymore. So everything is in place for you. And potentially one of the greatest defenders of all time, possibly the greatest defender of all time, in Aaron Donald, mm-hmm. coming back to your squad. So that's easy. Worst roster in the league is a little harder to do.
Okay, before we jump to worse, y'all not just going to talk about the Patriots and we're not going to give a shout-out to the Broncos.
Listen, the floor.
That's
listen,
what we're not going to do.
You're absolutely
so,
right.
So let's remember, we're a broken toe, right, on a kneel down from going to the Super Bowl, because we're beating.
Which was crazy.
We almost beat y'all with Jarrett Stidham or whoever we rolled out there.
Know.
Okay, so Bo Nix, one more year under Sean Payton. Right. And let's be real. At times, Bo Nix looks like Baby Drew. Right.
Times.
Right. At times. So we'll have another year of that. Defense is solid. Lockdown. Right. We really do that.
Yeah.
Add another year to there. And the sneaky, we added Waddle from Miami. Right. Mm-hmm. So now we have
got
that speed.
Coming underneath.
Now
yeah.
So to me, and full disclosure, I am not a fan of Sean Payton, the human.
The guy.
Right?
Coach, though.
How he did Russ is
was
despicable.
Crazy. Was crazy.
Right? I was mad at my squad.
And I don't even like Russ
right?
like that. You know what I mean?
But you don't do
somebody
like
that.
Like that. No. But that being said, that man can coach. Right? He never been a loser. Right? When he shows up, things get
wins.
Better. And he's really one of the last old school guys that are still making a difference. A lot of these younger guys are coming out with their new stuff, but I think Sean Payton, and when you talk about a program, Sean Payton runs a program. You can trace his stuff all the way back to Parcells, right, if you want to.
Yeah.
So I think that we have as much action as anybody. The roster's solid. We're young. So look out. That's all I'm saying, Patriots.
Shout out to Bo Nix for obvious reasons. And that
yes,
obvious
sir.
Reason is he was my fantasy quarterback that won me a championship last year. Nothing to do with the fact that he was the University of Oregon Ducks quarterback or anything like that.
He
but shout out
fantasy,
to Bo Nix.
Right,
I believe.
Right.
I also believe that this Broncos team, like the snow, was some of the best thing that could have happened to that Patriots squad.
Right.
And that, but I mean, hey man, nobody could throw the ball.
Hey,
and
it is
I mean,
what it
hey,
is.
I couldn't do nothing.
It is
so,
what it
I mean,
is.
It was one of those things. But I do fully believe the Broncos are going to be one of those teams to compete in a really, really stacked AFC West.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a great goal of it.
Yeah.
Coming up next, man, we'll wrap it up. We will want to. I do want to talk about who the worst roster is, but we'll also wrap it up with some other stuff. We'll tie a bow on it. Sports Saturday on the Fan. Just talking about our amazing kids and them doing amazing things after they left high school, man. We'll definitely ask Coach Deloney about his amazing Hall of, will be soon to be at some point, probably Oregon Hall of Fame, you know, and everything like that. But before we get that, just real quick, man, worst rosters is pretty easy. There are some teams out there. I think we could all come up with at least one.
Yeah.
But for me, it's pretty easy, and it's the Arizona Cardinals. Like, we talk about a really good NFC West who is just, man, super stacked with those top three teams. After that, man, and then there's the Cardinals. You know, they don't really have a quarterback. They're going to be relying on Jacoby Brissett or Carson Beck.
Yeah.
They have no real depth. I think really Buda Baker and Trey McBride are the only real pieces that they truly have right there. And then they're just in a brutal division to where they have to play two teams that are considered the best rosters in football, two of the top five rosters in football, in the Rams and the Seahawks. And then a still very, very good roster in the San Francisco 49ers. That's six games per year that you have to play there. So I think it's going to be a long year for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even add nothing to it. They're terrible. Yeah,
they're terrible. And so there's not fun to play. They're not fun to watch. Like, it's just, yeah.
I think I'm going to go with Miami.
That's exactly where I was going.
I'm
going
to go with Miami.
Yeah.
You lose Tua, who, I mean, he wasn't really giving you much anyways, but he's gone. Jalen Waddle, gone. You got Malik Willis coming in, who you're not totally confident in just yet. He'll probably give you like a B, B-plus type of performance throughout the season, and your only go-to option, I think, is Devon Achane. Yeah. So that's not a lot to work with.
You got the rookies, Caleb Douglas, you know what I mean? Right. So you got him. You got Chris Bell. Yeah, I mean.
Just a lot of question marks.
It's going to be gross, right? It's going to be a while before Miami finds any. And but the cold part is they play in the AFC East. There's a great chance the top two teams, the AFC East, which more than likely would be the Bills and the Patriots. Patriots have a really tough schedule this year, like a really tough schedule. So maybe they take a step backwards. I don't think so, but maybe they do. You know, so that's the one thing about playing in a bad division. Like, you're telling me there's a chance. Like, right. I can say, well, seriously, don't believe me? Ask the NFC South.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, as long as you're better than the worst, then you've got a chance.
Well, while we're talking about the worst in the AFC East, then you got to bring up the New York Jets.
Yep.
Who are just notoriously
which way is up?
I can't name right now a worse franchise in professional sports. Like it's been that bad for so long.
I'm trying to think if there's an NBA team that's just been ass.
Who's the equivalent? Like
the Wizards, maybe? But even they had a guy in Westbrook that averaged a triple-double for him once in between there in the last 5 years.
What's the last Jet highlight?
Right? Butt fumble.
The butt fumble, unfortunately.
Butt fumble.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really bad over there. And again, I'm never, you know, hoping somebody gets fired. But I was shocked that they kept their coach.
They should relegate them to college.
I wanna say the last that I saw had them last year. They had zero interceptions as a defense.
Yeah.
For the season. Like that you didn't get a tip ball.
Yeah.
You
and who was the corner? Was it Sauce? Who's the corner?
They gave him away, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. That's right.
They gave him away.
I don't even to keep up on Jets news. Like, you know, they just give away their players, all the time.
Bad.
So not worth talking about. More than likely, the Jets will finish the bottom of that AFC East. It would be a huge shock if they won any more than five games.
Right.
So Anthony Deloney, on top of being a coach, on top of being the development director for a great culturally specific organization, man, he's also got some amazing kids. Right, some amazing young men that he was able to raise. Shout out to them. Shout out to Brandon, Cato, and my guy, young AD. But AD grew up to be just one of the best basketball players and shooters that the city has ever seen, and now is playing in France, man.
He's playing in France. So we talked early on about going overseas.
Right.
This is his third year. He finished a great career at University of Vermont, where they went to the tournament three years.
Yeah.
Three out of his 4 years.
He was sixth man of the year.
He was sixth man of the year twice.
Twice.
All tournament team. So had a great year. In fact, always, his last game of his college career was against Duke at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Right. So you can't
do better
than
that. Go out.
Right. The funny story. So he said his last game beforehand. It's Grant Hill and who's my guy that says Onions? The announcer,
Bill Raftery.
So. He says he's, warming up, and Grant Hill says, "Hey, D," calls him his nickname. "Come on over here." Shake Grant Hill's hand. He's like, "Bro, I'm blown away." And there's this older white guy that's like, "Hey, man, I really like your game. You got this." Da, 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 da. And I said, "Bro, that was Bill Raftery." He was like, "Who?" I was like, "Boy, much as you love Grant Hill, right, I'm sweating Bill Raftery." So he's had a great career, but this is his third year playing professionally. He was in Greece year one, Azerbaijan year two, and now he's in northern France. So he's making a living, doing his thing, but he loves Portland, right? He worked here for the summer. He led our full circle moment. He led our middle school basketball camp. With Khalil Chapman this year. Shout out to Stretch.
So you want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
I worked at Self-Enhancement for 10 years. Mm-hmm. 10, man, amazing years. I've met some, man, amazing people that I've known for a long time there. But I haven't been in the building in 5 years since I haven't worked there, right? And so my stepson got the defensive player of camp,
nice.
Mr.
Congratulations.
Defense. He's been that's an award that's kind of eluded him for man every year that he's there. He's always missed the runner up, something like that. So he finally got it. So I was like, man, let me go up there and see what was up. And the crazy part is I walked in and I'm expecting to see a bunch of people that I don't really know because it's been 5 years, right? It's been half a decade since I've been gone. and come in. First person I see is my guy, friend of the show, you know, guest host of the show, my guy Sam Thompson.
Yep.
And then I see, man, all these kids that I worked with and I met them when they were seventh graders or sixth graders and stuff like that. And now they are 25-year-old, you know, young men and women that were running back. So I saw Cameron and Khalil. I saw AD, and I saw all my coworkers, man. Shout out to my guy Kendall. Yeah. Shout out to my girl Sarah. Yeah. Shout out to, like, I walked in, it's like, oh, all my coworkers are here. Like, it was super crazy, but it was great to see, because SEI basketball camp has been a proving ground.
Yeah.
Just real quick, because we're going to wrap up here in a bit, but who are some of the great players that have come through Portland, come through SEI basketball camp that you've been able to see that have gone on to, like, college or even NBA? Because I know Terrell Brandons and all those guys, they were, you know, Damon Stoudemire's were fixtures back in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s.
Those are guys that are my age that clearly went on to have major success. But, I mean, people don't know Ime Udoka, right? It was a player, right?
Jefferson High School.
A dang good player, right? Michael Lee and Aaron Miles. Right,
Big 12's all-time leader in steals,
assists,
and assist. Yeah, assist. I think he's second in steals, or something like that. Yeah,
I mean, Thomas Gardner, same window, went to Missouri. I mean, there was a time where if you went to Jeff, you were going, you know, right, D1, and
right.
Brandon Lincoln,
Terrence Ross,
and Terrence Jones.
Yeah.
Who else? Andrew Andrews.
My guy, shout out to you, Doug.
Right,
man.
So
Andrew Andrews, real name, man, and he was the nicest, A-squared, coolest kid, absolutely,
great
my man.
Guy. Great, and and shout out to Mike James, the all-time leading EuroLeague guy, who actually mentors my son AD. So you see the full circle moments.
Mike James, one of those guys who actually came back and gave back sure that he does a basketball camp, which kind of mimics SEIs every year. Kind of bit off SEIs
every year,
but
it's love.
It's exactly what somebody's supposed to do.
That's right.
After they've gone on and done some great things in their own lives, man.
That's right,
man. Deloney, thank you so much, man.
Course.
There was nobody I would have rather have done this with today, man. Outside of my guy, V-Hen behind the glass, man.
It goes fast.
You. Goes fast, man. Here, in and out. Like, here we go, man. We just got here a little bit ago, man.
Yeah.
So you can find Anthony Deloney. Let me see. A.D. Deloney at...
Anthony D at self-enhancement.
No.
So A.D. is my personal. Y'all don't hit me there. If you want to give some money to SEI, Anthony D at selfenhancement.org.
There it is, man. And if you want to get at him just on his other one, I'm sure he'll give you his personal.
AD Deloney, if you're on Instagram, whatever.
Yeah, he needs new followers.
AD Deloney.
Yeah,
come follow your boy. Mess with me.
And come watch Grant play, because he'll be one of the
coaches. Go Generals. There, listen, you can't say Grant without saying Ant. That's all I'm saying.
There it is, man. There it is. So for my guy, Anthony Deloney, my guy, Brandon Henson, man. Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, good stuff, y'all.
Appreciate it, man. This is Sports Saturday. I'll see y'all next week. Peace.